Welcome to On the Beat, where we bring you a different Buffalo Bills beat reporter every week, exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of On the Beat, brought to you exclusively on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. This show is where we will bring you an exclusive interview with a different beat reporter or sports journalist each week to talk about the swirling topics of the moment. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. You can find me on Twitter at Ostrowski underscore Big O. He is John Fina. Fina, where can we find you?
At John Fina, baby. Made it easy.
And our guest today, and you don't need an introduction, but I'm going to give you one anyway. I'd like to give you a proper, a Ric Flair or something like that type introduction. But joining us today, and we're going to dive deep into the draft, folks, is Mookie Hawkins, sports director and Bills beat reporter, Power 96.5 FM, WUFO, 1080 AM. If you know Buffalo sports, if you know the Bills, you know Mookie, and we're glad enough and happy enough to have him on the show with us today. Mook, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys, man. It's always a pleasure and an honor to, to be on with you guys, too. You know, I know at one point in time, y'all were like protecting one side of the field. You know what I mean? So, I love that. Respect that.
Well, yeah, you got 40% of an offensive line right here.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, tomorrow night is the big night. Thursday night, we'll get the first round of the draft tomorrow night, Mookie. And, right off the top of the show, I think we'd be amiss if we didn't just get your, you're embedded. You know a lot of people. You got a lot of connections. You've been doing a ton of work. I imagine you haven't had much sleep. You've been busy as all get out. Just kind of maybe some of the things that you've been hearing coming out of One Bills Drive as we head to tomorrow night's first round of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, we're not asking you to give up sources. Just the juicy,
we don't need sources. We just need
just the juicy chunks, baby.
Man, it's a lot of things that swirling, around Bills camp. I mean, they did a good job of smoke screening. They did a good job of being in rumor mills. They did a good job of, making themselves known at the combine. So, it gives you a no stone unturned approach by, Brandon Bean and Brass on making sure that this draft class here is going to define the future of this team. So, so far so good. I mean, it's real interesting to see, what of these many scenarios is going to actually take place, how close some things are going to come, close to, materializing and some falling through. So I guess, at the end of the day, everybody knows that, Bills need a wide receiver. If they were to move up, my guess it would be for Brian Thomas or Dunzier, pending now that I guess the reports of a shoulder injury for Thomas. But we already know this is that phase of where, the red flags start coming out on guys to make they, draft status slide a little bit. And I say, hey, that may be a strategy that could work well for the Buffalo Bills, but do they play that game if this is a guy that they really covet? I mean, even on the flip side of that, Odunziye is going up that high too rich for the Bills' blood, to even attempt to play around in the top 10 to go and get a guy like Odunziye.
And Mookie Hawkins joins us. And Mook, real quick, folks, if you're watching on Facebook, you're watching on Twitter, hop over to YouTube, get in the comments like Richard Rush, Tracy, Bella, all of our friends over here in the comments. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, help us out. And, you brought up a good point. You talked about is moving up in the draft too rich for the Bills. And obviously Benjamin Albright was kind of the one this week that started the whole roller coaster of the Bills aggressively trying to move up in the first round. Two of the spots that I've seen in looking at different scenarios, number 7 to the Titans, if and both of these scenarios revolve around Ndunze. If you have him at seven, also see them maybe possibly moving up to 12 with the Broncos. One of the things I want to ask you is, knowing that they have the Vikings' high second-round pick next year, does that make it easier for Brandon Bean to move this first round, the first-round pick from next year, to get up into the draft to get that guy if he's available, knowing that he has that high second-round pick to where it's almost kind of like a 1B? If you're not in the first round, you're just outside of it.
Again, Jerry, oh man, it's so many scenarios and variables that you can get that outcome, right? Now, if the Bills, I mean, we want to call this a roster revamp. We don't want to call it a rebuild or whatever the case may be, right? So if we're not going to be all in as far as free agency, the Bills need to show right now that they need to be all in this draft, because you don't have time to try to develop guys when your quarterback is top three, you know, in the league right now. So you got to replace that. You got to go get him elite weapons coming out of college, you know. So that's where I feel if you can't, you got to be all in on the draft, because the Bills, okay, it's cool to be in the favorite to go to the Super Bowl, but you never heard the Bills be talked about, hey, the Bills are all in here. Just by the looks of this roster, the Bills are making an all-in move. You know, you never really heard that. So, you know, with the draft capital that they do have and the position that they're in, and, you know, with the players that they do have on this roster, they have enough to move up. They have enough to move back. It just depends on where the guys are when it's time for them to pull the trigger on, you know, who's high on their board or not. Do I think Ndunze is a little bit too rich for the Bills' blood to mortgage, basically, the future on all those draft capitals for one guy? I think that would be a little bit too rich for the Bills' blood. That's why I say Seattle at best at 16. And, you know, the Bills don't really have to give up too much capital. I mean, you could put in that second round that you did attain in the Minnesota Vikings deal, or your own second, which one you prefer,
right,
to, you know, move up 12 spots in the draft. I mean, you probably want to sweeten the deal, throw the seventh round pick in there. You know, that's really only one point. And then you probably ask Seattle to give you their sixth round pick or something like that. So you get some little minor deal to move up 12 spots. If Brian Thomas get out of the top 15, you know, or somebody else, you covered it right there, then you go move up, you go get your guy. And then, you know, you still got that big gap from 16 to 60. So, I mean, you still have draft capital. You could take that one, because to me, what are you holding on to that first round pick for next year for? You know, if you know that it's going to be impact players right now, that's going to help your team right now, that's still going to be in that second to third round, use the first round pick and, you know, get a second and a third to go along with your 60. And that assures you, you know, 4 to 5 players in the top 100, guys that can play right away.
Mookie, how do you separate what you hear in the rumor mill, you know, from this is possible to get out of here, you know, just and what's the percentages, right? So do you listen to 5% of it, and is the rest of it garbage? Do you have sources that you trust? Are you getting maybe better information than some other people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, and on the beat has their different go-tos where they get, you know, source information and stuff like that. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you just got to be a realist too to what's transparent, you know, what's going on with this Bills roster. Say like the Brandon Ayuk deal, I just don't see the Bills paying that type of money to bring in a guy like Brandon Ayuk. When you, okay, I mean, him and Diggs the same, they're the same, other than I guess, you know, the baggage, you know, and you just doesn't the baggage. But at the end of the day, that deal just really boiled down to Diggs being on the wrong side of 30 at $20 million that the Bills need to absolve that contract. And you wouldn't have got a third round pick or a fourth round pick. You probably would have got a fifth round pick for Diggs next year, you know, if the Bills were, you know, gun shy on making this move. So this move was a year premature. I'm quite sure Brandon Bean and all those guys was like that. I bet you they knew that they had one more year on that timetable, and you know that deal was just. I mean, look at how pivotal this second round pick from Minnesota is going to be tomorrow night.
Right. Exactly.
You know. So. You know, it just, you know, based upon that and the realness of what the Bills roster really, you got to get younger guys. You got to get younger guys that's going to be there at a cheaper price. You can't go in and get another $20 million wide receiver. You know, you got to go start from scratch. Guys that's going to be with Josh for the next 4 to 5 years, cheap labor, but elite, with elite traits. So.
But I get what you're saying, Mookie. What's your position on getting these guys in a little bit quicker and getting them up to speed? That has historically been my complaint with both James Cook, with Dalton Kincaid. You know, we need the weapon now. We need them to get involved, and I feel like they slow them a little bit. What's your take?
I agree with that. And, you know, that kind of like goes on to the end of time with the Bills at some point in some developmental phases, not to say all of them, but the ones that you expect the most, you would figure like, okay, why, you know, this guy isn't playing, you know, that much. Even Gabe Davis in his second year, you brought in Emmanuel Sanders, but I mean, that was $8 million you brought in Emmanuel Sanders, and I love the guy, but you had Gabe Davis who caught 35 passes and 8 touchdowns his rookie year. It was no reason for me, you know what I mean? That's just my opinion to bring, you know, Emmanuel Sanders in when I had that much production from a rookie in the fourth round. I'm going to up his production and see where that goes. And then maybe, you know, you're ahead of the curve and figure out what you want to do with this guy ahead of time. Do you want to extend him? Or, you know, we all know the situation, how that ended up. He's not on the roster anymore. You're number two guy. So now you find yourself in a dilemma where your one and two isn't on this roster. And we want to act like, yeah, we're that, we have that quality.
So what I'm hearing from you is whether the Bills move up or not, wide receiver's got to be the pick.
Yes, I believe that. You know, would it be in this much of a deep draft class? Then yes.
Let me ask you this, Mookie, and you're watching On the Beat on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Mookie, of course, sports director, Buffalo Bills beat reporter for Power 96.5 FM and WUFO 1080 AM. Let me ask you this, because I'm not convinced that it has to be a wide receiver. When you just kind of answered, you know, or stated the thing that I believe in, and which is, you know, this is a very, very deep draft at wideout. And when you're bringing in guys like Leggett, who I think has a second round grade, some have him maybe even a third, there is a ton of talent in that second round. I know we don't have a third round pick as of yet, but, you know, a lot of buzz around the Iowa all-purpose defensive back, Cooper DeJean. This is a guy that's been, you know, it's obvious they are infatuated with him. He's been in the top 30 visits. They've done a lot of time with him at the combine and things like that. Is this a guy that maybe if you're sitting at 28 and he's still around, you know, and you talked about that Seattle pick at 16, the receivers you weren't on around, can you see them moving up and taking a guy that fills multiple holes in a secondary that I think probably has more holes than wideout?
Yeah, that's a possibility. When you look, you know, at the, they didn't do too much movement at safety and free agency. Yes, they did re-sign Tyler Rapp and brought in Mike Edwards. But, you know, after that, you have Damar Hamlin and you have Cam Lewis, you know, as backups right now. So that lets you know that, you know, they're still in search for a safety. You know, it could be a possibility that Micah Hyde returns for, you know, one more running back one more time. And the Bills, that still will not stop the Bills from drafting a safety, because that guy ultimately will be groomed by Micah Hyde. And then eventually that person will take over at some point going forward. But safety is definitely a need. If Cooper DeJean is their guy to move up and go get, you go get that guy, because he can play some safety. He can play corner on the outside. He's well-versed in that. But There's guys like Tyler Newbin. It's other guys like Javon Bullard, you know, that's going to be available in that second round as well. It's so much meat and potatoes in that second to third. Normally it'd be the fourth and the fifth, right? But this year it's that second and third. So the Bills got a lot of draft capital where they can move up and move up again.
Right.
Move back and move up. I think that 2025 picks one and two are expendable in this year's draft because there's just so much talent that you can get in that top 100 that could be impact right away.
Mookie, where are you going to be for the draft? Are you going to be at a party? Are you going to be sitting solo and tweeting out your opinions on each pick? You know, what's your plan for tomorrow night?
Oh, man, I'm going to be in the Bills media lab, you know, getting all the juicy stuff if I can, you know, get it before it hits the podium.
I expect you to tweet it out before the pick goes to the podium, Mookie.
hey, Mookie, what do you feel like is the most either controversial or interesting rumor mill around the league for any other team other than the Bills, if you have the bandwidth to follow it? Like, what's got you thinking, wow, these guys are in trouble, they're going to make something happen?
Man, you know, it never amazes me to see what the hell Tennessee is going to do.
They were rumored to be possible movers with the Bills.
Right. You know, it amazes me. I know that Rand Carthon has done an amazing job thus far with this team. But, you know, it just amazes me. I mean, you would expect, I mean, how they Clint House a little bit there as well. You know, so I want to see how that shapes up and the overall scope of that. Because they still have some holes they need to fill, especially defensively. Then, obviously, you know, losing Derrick Henry. So that's going to be pretty interesting there in Tennessee.
Again, we're talking with Mookie Hawkins, part of our Beat Reporter series on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Mookie, I'm curious. There's so much to cover just with one team alone. Mm-hmm. How much time do you have to and bandwidth and connections do you have to reach out to other people around the country to see what's happening in with their teams?
Oh man, that's like every day. You know, the people you meet at the combine and other events, you know, credentialed by the league, you know, you build those relations and then next, you know, you just, we're either sometimes we're on a phone call conversation or, you know, we're just texting one another on, you know, what's going on in overall scope or something that's about to happen that hasn't happened. You know, we share that type of information. So, yeah, it's not going nonstop, you know, with all personalities alike.
Mookie, I have to ask you, you know, John and I both played offensive line in Buffalo. And you said something earlier in the show that I really, really believe in. And I don't think our fan base quite understands. I don't want to say they quite understand the concept of it, but 30 is a big number in the NFL. And even though guys may be playing good football past the age of 30, and there's guys all across the league that do, when you start talking about contracts and lots of money and possible guys that are expendable to get your number, you know, your cap number under where it needs to be, those are usually the first guys you'd look at. And we lost a couple of really, really good ones, big leaders, you know, Mitch Morse, we lost Jordan Poyer. Obviously, you know, big holes we have to fill. I go back to Mitch Morse, you know, they took Connor McGovern and they've now made him or have said that he announced that he's the starting center going into camp. A guy that I think has maybe two or three games at the most in the NFL at center, played some at Penn State. Is center a position that you see the Bills going for rather early? Because, you know, once you get that wide receiver position filled or safety position filled, I have to think those are the first two they're looking at. Is the next target that center spot to bring a guy in that maybe you can groom or, hey, he might surprise you and be a guy that can play day one like Torrence did last year?
Yeah, I mean, Big Cybo is just really filling the Bills' lap right there in the second round. So could that happen if the Bills were to hold at 28? I think so. If the center from out of Oregon is there, do you entertain grabbing that guy? And then you still could, you know, use pick one or two from next year to jump back into the second and, you know, still dance with Carolina possibly, or Atlanta, or Washington even. There's still some teams that, you know, the Bills could shake and move with in the second round as well to, you know, to jump back in to get a first, I mean, to get a second and a third round pick. So they can still get that four. If you want to move back is some interior linemen in the later rounds too, like a Bo Lemon from Arkansas. And, you know, you got the guy from Wisconsin out of there, Bordellini there, that could play center and guard as well. But the throw, Conor McGovern in the fire and only, you know, minimal starts there at center and getting rid of your Pro Bowl center. That's going to be quite the sight to see.
Well, one of these three guys on this show right now understands what that's about. So that's why I asked, because it's not an easy task going from being told what to do and then you take the job of having to tell everybody what to do. Right. You know, obviously that's pretty tough. But hey, we got about 10 minutes to go, and I just kind of your thoughts. You know, where do you see this thing going Thursday night? What, you know, through the people you've talked to, your connections and all those things, knowing the roster intimately, what the Bills need, you know, knowledge of the locker room, those types of things. Where do you see Bean possibly, what do you see him possibly doing tomorrow night when this whole thing kicks off the 2024 NFL draft?
I think he's going to give you just exactly what he told everybody, you know, that he's competitive as hell and he's going to do whatever it takes to get this roster to maintain, you know, their contender status. You cannot, you know, go win four straight AFC East titles, then all of a sudden you fall off because you didn't got rid of pivotal players. You know, that doesn't make you look good in the eyes of, you know, the guy that cuts your check. So I'm quite sure that he's going to be, you know, probably the most busiest he's ever been on draft night. You know, his phone's going to be ringing nonstop. I expect the Bills to be all in this draft class based upon where they are right now, where they have draft assets. And, you know, I mean, you look at how they made that move in 2018. They had players to do it. They used Cordy Glenn, right, to that became the Tremaine Edmonds pick. And, you know, now we're going to see what that pick looks like in the fourth round. But you never know what player on the team has trade value as well that you're trying to move. If the Bills are eyeing a tackle early, do you move Spencer Brown because his contract is up? He's in his contract year. Do you rather move a guy rather than let him walk out of your life, if I sort of say, you know?
The number of scenarios is just endless. But, you know, we asked this question to Joe Marino on the phone yesterday. Are you a fan of the Buffalo Bills, and you're deep into this draft, and are you a guy that, like Brandon Bean, you want to make moves? Or, as Joe Marino would say, I want the draft to come to me. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to make the most of the picks where they are, maximize all of my picks because I think there's enough talent.
Nah, I go and get my kind of guys if whatever, at all costs. The guys in the draft are like luxuries, because then after that, then, you know, like you just said, I'll just wait and see what comes to me. I wait till after the draft for that. The draft, I'm going to shake and move and go and get the guys that I feel that could be an impact on this team from pick one all the way through seven. And then, okay, I'm going to see what's coming to me that I can develop down the line. But any guy that I'm drafting, I'm expecting those guys to be an impact, you know, in the first, if not definitely the second year there on my roster.
Do you think, you know, last year Bean goes out, gets two starters in the first two rounds. Williams was a heavy contributor at the third round, the linebacker from Tulane. Mm-hmm. How, if the Bills do not make any more free agent moves, you know, that set aside, if they go, you know, and you've already stated you don't think they'll go after like a Brandon Ayuk or maybe even Justin Jefferson, mm-hmm. You know, who's also been rumored to be, you know, possibly traded tomorrow night. Do you think this team, just through the draft, will have what it takes or what it needs to get through this sticky situation with the cap and continue to be the AFC East champs and, you know, go far into the playoffs?
I do. I know everybody, again, you know, results of that Diggs trade, $31 million to a non-quarterback, probably the most in NFL history. I get all that, but look at the overall scenario, right? You take that $31 million in dead cap. Stephon Diggs was owed, what, $19.5 million this year, right? So let's subtract that off that $31 million dead cap. Tre'Davious White contract, you know, comes off the books when? In June? So you take that $10 million, you know, from the remainder of that, and that leaves you what, $1 million?
Right.
So, again, the Bills is going to look – Breen's going to look like a genius because he was able to get rid of that entire contract, you know, and they got a second-round pick on top of that for that. And, you know, they have money just to be on the plus side come as early as next year because you're not paying any. I mean, you're not paying Stephon Diggs that crazy contract. You just got rid of that. So, you know, that just saved you $18 million for the next 3 years.
Mookie, I love your insight. I love your attitude about being aggressive, going and getting your guy. And I could tell you that you've cleared up nothing for me. It's all it's all clear as mud. Everybody who's a fan of their team, and especially our Bills Mafia, is running mock drafts through their head. Did you do a mock draft? Are you tired of mock drafts? Do you think there's any point to them, or you just think it's a fun exercise?
It's a great fun exercise just to really see who's really thinking in the mind of Brandon Bean and the rest of the scouting department and, you know, the whole front office there. It's just amazing how I know they sitting back. I can't believe that everybody's sitting up here trying to think what we think, I guess, so or what's best for this team. Some often than not, but this is the year they got to go all in. And I did so many mock drafts, you know, so I'm about to put that up. You'll see that in just a minute. I done went crazy with it. I'm telling you, I done moved up to 16 and then jumped back in to the second round. So yeah, I done went kind of kooky with it.
I love it. I love it. Hey, when you're in the PR, the press room at the draft tomorrow night down at One Bills Drive, will you know the pick before Jerry and I know the pick? Or are you going to find out at the same moment we do?
We find out a little bit more quicker than anybody else do, unless, you know, you two guys, you know, y'all have a lot of connections too. So
I'm connected to you, Mookie. Yeah. That's all I need.
The only connection I have, and I can't remember the guy's name. I'll text my buddy, who's a local sports radio guy here in town. There's a dude on Twitter that leaks the picks like 5 minutes before they even come out. And I'm surprised they ain't caught this dude yet. I don't know if, like, the person that walks the cards up to the podium is, like, a relative or something, but this cat gets the picks, like, 5 minutes ahead. We only got a few minutes left, and I do want to ask you about a couple of players, most notably Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, who was in for a top 30 visit, a guy that was a 4.39 guy. Read a little bit about him. He's got a lot of strengths there, and he kind of sounds like a young – I mean, you know, there are some questions maybe about rounding off routes and stuff. Almost sounded a little bit like a younger Gabe Davis. What are the feelings you're getting about him? Because obviously, usually the name that you hear the most is the guy that they don't pick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times, especially in the later picks, it's not. What do you feel about his chances of being a Bills draft pick, and or is there a couple of guys at wide receiver? I know you mentioned a few earlier. I think Brian Thomas Jr. was one of them that they really did you know they really, really covet?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you just gotta look at what makes sense, kinda. You know, when Brian Thomas Jr. has an element, and there's a few other receivers that kinda had that element, but his difference with him is he has the size and he has the speed. He was only asked to really run three routes at LSU, but during the combine, it doesn't seem like, you know, he'll have trouble getting in and out of break. So I don't think it's a question of him running an entire route tree. But when you get a guy that's 6'4", 210, runs a 4.340, yeah, I mean, that's something that Josh Allen never had the opportunity to throw to as a number one target. So that's why I would say that. I mean, they could fall back, and I like Xavier Leggett, and I like you know, I like Coleman from out of FSU because those three guys brings an element to the Bills offense that they haven't had in years, right? So those are my top three fit for the Bills. Then you do have an A.D. Mitchell, and then you have a Lat McConkie. McConkie can play on the outside, but against bigger and taller corners, how will he fare in the NFL? So, you know, I think Josh needs some bigger receivers. We do have a Curtis Samuel. We do have an ascending Khalil Shakur and a Don Kincaid. Get Josh some bigger, taller weapons with catch radius and speed so, you know, they can make him right, you know, because they have the speed and necessary catch radius.
Good stuff. Good stuff. They broke it down for you, Jerry. I don't know how that conflicts with RJ Young, but we'll have to, our audience will have to come listen to the last 5 minutes of this pod and then go listen to RJ Young break down all the receivers.
No, I think it fits kind of together because, you know, Bean made the comment back when OTA started about, you know, Yak was a very, very important thing in his wide receiver evaluation, you know, yards after catch. So, you know, if you can get size and speed, that's rare, and obviously there's a few of them in this draft that have both. John, you have any final questions?
I don't. I just appreciate you joining us, Mookie, and make sure that you let everybody on the pod know where they can find you. And again, you can find Jerry Ostrowski at Ostrowski _ Big O, me at John Fina, and this is the Buffalo, Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network.
Can I get me one overreaction bonus question from you?
Yeah, man.
And Charlotte is like 40% of the offensive line. You know what I mean? What lineman you feel that fits this Bills offense, you know, in this year?
Go ahead, John. You go first.
Man, I don't know. I never loved the idea of reaching for a guy. I think center is the only position where you could really kind of say, you know, that might be a smart play. So, but I don't know that we can get a center and justify it in the first round. And then trading back, then you're turning your back on, you know, the need at wide receiver. If you think that you got a decent center right now moving into the position, I like this kid, Jordan Morgan from Arizona. You know, he fits into that 1-2 round area, but he's got the ability to be a guard. He's in, if something happens, Spencer Brown goes, he's played tackle in college. He's got the form, the fit, and the execution on it. It's hard to say.
Hey, it's hard to say when you got a big A on your chest, right?
Yeah, that's right, baby. Go Cats.
You know, personally, I like the center out of West Virginia. He's a good player. The center out of Oregon is a very good player. I think the most intriguing first round offensive lineman, and it's funny, I actually was in a training camp with his father, John Ault, is the big kid out of Notre Dame. He's a guy that's been rumored to go to the Chargers because we all know that Harbaugh has a love for big physical offensive lines. He wants to try to protect his franchise quarterback. But I would have to think with bringing in Lyle Collins in the offseason, I know he's a little bit older, but he brings a ton of experience. He can be a swing tackle, might even be a guy. Mookie, if you heard differently or you did, you can verify this, please do when I'm done. I could see him maybe competing with Edwards for that left guard spot going into training camp and then maybe swing him out if you have to, because they do have a couple of younger tackles in Buffalo that have developed. I mean, Cromer's did a wonderful job or has done a wonderful job, continues to with developing those guys. But, you know, I think maybe, you know, like I say, I want to see us pick a center somewhere relatively soon, quickly, maybe early maybe second day or definitely early third day probably would be the most situation or scenario that makes sense. But there are some out there. But I think it's also a position where you can get a tremendous amount of production without picking a guy super high. There's a lot of players in this league that do great things that were fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks that were free agents. So this is one of those scenarios, and I say this all the time, and people are like, oh, that's just a canned answer. I'm like, well, it's the truth. You know, Brandon Bean pays that scouting department a lot of money to go on the road, you know, 200 and some out of 300 and some 65 days a year to evaluate talent. You got to trust what they do. And I'm sure they'll you know, pick accordingly from their board.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. just to see how basically what this new look Bills team is going to look like, you know, and it starts tomorrow night. So,
Mookie, wait, thanks, man. We appreciate you. I'll be following you on Twitter tomorrow night. I'm expecting, you know, DM me that pick early, baby. I you know, hit me up early. You know how to DM me. Hit me up.
Morgan.
Thanks, all Mookie. Right.
Thanks, Mookie. Appreciate you. He's Mookie Hawkins, sports director, Bills beat reporter, Power 96.5 FM, WFO, 1080 AM. Check him out. Catch him on social media and all that stuff. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He's John Fina. He's Mookie Hawkins. Thanks for being on, watching On the Beat here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. We will be back tomorrow night, Thursday night. Immediate reaction, instant reaction for what the Bills do. This, Mookie, is where we pray to God that they trade up, because that means we go on at 9:30 instead of 12:30. So the only guy that has the advantage in this situation is Fina, because he's on the West Coast.
Right.
So anyway, that's why we hope they trade up. So everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night. Instant reaction on the pick. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.